Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland, so thank you for coming back to my channel. This is talking about the effect of the Russo-Ukrainian war on the Russian economy. I mean, to say nothing of the Ukrainian economy, where it's not been good, shrunk a lot. Ukraine has at least really expanded its military manufacturing base and has got a fairly big and impressive one. Innovation being, well, invention, sorry, necessity being the mother of invention. But back to Russia, and there were the fond hopes that sanctions would do most of the work. And obviously sanctions were introduced days before the days after the war began, but these were gradual, these were limited, and the Russian ruble lost a lot of value, regained some value, it's going to lose some value. But yeah, it's obviously less value than it was below before the war, but not terribly so. So the Russians are claimed to have like 4% economic growth in the early years of the war, down to under 1% economic growth in 2026. Looks like, I mean, if they're lying, it might just be zero. But the surprising thing is it hasn't shrunk. The sanctions have been less effective than Ukraine's allies were hoping. Partly they've been too gradual. These Western countries had to wean themselves off Russian oil and gas, and some of them, like Hungary and Slovakia, got opt-outs. So you know, you could have gone total, but oil and gas prices would have gone up a lot, loss of supply and demand being what they were. And people weren't willing to pay the economic price. And just think, like in Western Europe, okay, we might be suffering economically, but you know, Ukrainians are paying with their lives, being frozen to death right now when Russia's deliberately targeting their energy infrastructure, most of Kyiv without electricity, therefore without heating, without running water in many buildings, because you need electricity to pump it up, and blah, blah, blah. Ironically, people in the countryside are doing better because they haven't got wood stoves or, you know, so they can heat those. And even more Ukrainians would be dying from this if several million of them hadn't fled abroad. So if we cut off all trade with Russia, as weren't by any of their oil and gas, and that is practical now 4 years on, weren't by any of their potash or whatever, or any of their exports of metals, then that would hurt the Russian economy even more. And, oh, they could just sell them to other markets. I mean, I heard a British Putinite say, well, okay, but there's not necessarily the desire for them. There's not that much capacity. And also the transport routes, there's only so much they can send down each road, each railway to China and so forth. And people like the Chinese will drive a very hard bargain. Knowing the Ruskies are desperate, will demand a lower price. And the Chinese have really profited from this war. The Indians, the Turks, to some extent, getting lower oil and gas prices from Russia. So there's all sorts of stagnation. So it may well go into recession. And because there's been such an emphasis on military manufacturing, other sectors have atrophied. And obviously there are labor shortages with so many young men being sent to go and get killed, to get wounded. Obviously there's a brain drain of those who can getting out of the country. And you're more likely to move abroad if you have capital, if you have skills, ensuring you're able to get a job abroad. In former Soviet republics, living in Turkey, in Israel, even in Western countries, anywhere. And when the war ends, those people won't necessarily come back. They might be happily ensconced abroad and say, no, I'm not coming back. Putin has changed it permanently, has brought back, you know, neo-Stalinism. Because the government just throwing money at the war effort, okay, that's eased some people's problems. And some people have been benefited from the war. There have been war profiteers, even some factory workers having to work 6 day weeks, longer hours, but sometimes even higher hourly rates. So they're doing quite well, thank you. Soldiers who've got paid these big recruitment bonuses or big salaries for a while, and all that, that's dried up. And that has helped some of the most economically depressed regions. But Russia often finds it difficult to buy certain sanctioned goods abroad, even though they do find these illegal workarounds, even they can get these forbidden components, are going to cost them more, it's going to take longer, blah, blah, blah. It's uncertain they'll get them. So it's impacted their economy negatively, definitely. You know, it's pushed up inflation. Okay, so 10% plus. So apparently that's coming down. And the central bank, the interest rate, something like 21%. So there are serious economic headwinds for quite some time, and the shortage of workers, people being killed and emigration, but also Russia's own xenophobic policies after the Crocus City Hall attacks, maybe to deflect people's frustration from the difficulties the government has caused and to scapegoat ethnic minority people. So much of the brotherly relationship with the nations of the former Soviet Union, these guest workers from Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan in particular, face police profiling, blatant racism, and so on. and sometimes beaten up, whatever. And these Byzantine regulations about what they are allowed to do, they're not allowed to do, must register, and blah, blah, blah. And so few of them are coming, saying, I'll go work in another fairly prosperous former Soviet republic like Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, even for lower wages, but the cost of living is lower. And I don't face such racism. Even work in China. I met some of them in China in 2014. Go to the Middle East, go anywhere. And there are farm workers from those countries coming to the United Kingdom, for example. Okay, so they've created this problem for themselves. And now they think, oh, my God, we need to welcome them back. Will they come back? Other problems. So they're getting people from Kenya, the Central African Republic, Zambia, all sorts of African countries to go to Russia, supposedly on scholarships or supposedly whatever factories, duped into working in drone factories, or the men joining the armed forces, being told to sign a contract in Russian in a language they can't read, Russian, turns out to be a military contract, coerced, whatever, and then just being used as cannon fodder, the so-called meat attacks. But obviously people are getting wise to that. And I know there's some sort of economic desperation in less economically developed countries, but they won't find it easy to recruit these people as they can. But the shortage of workers, particularly skilled workers in various sectors, and then they've exacerbated this by racist policies towards guest workers from Central Asia. But they've loosened visa regulations, getting in more workers from India, 40,000 to come in this year, from Bangladesh, Pakistan, elsewhere. Then we say unofficial unemployment. So wages, putting up wages, and they can't afford that anymore. Okay, so there was labor scarcity. So a lot of businesses say that they are short-staffed. They've got the demographic death spiral anyway. Now, Western countries do, but Russia's got one of the worst in the world. All Putin's efforts to boost the fertility rate have failed. Even if he'd achieved his goal, the population was still going to go down. We're still going to have more deaths and births, just not as such a drastic rate as in the worst case scenario. A century from now, Russia's population might be half of what it is today. If you look at like Russia, say Russia alone at the end of the Cold War, it would have been something like 2% of the world's population. A century from now, it was something like 0.5% of the world's population, if they're lucky, because other countries like Nigeria got this exploding birth rate. Okay, so all sorts of problems, and then having to spend the national wealth fund, not as being burned through as fast as we thought. There'll still be some left by the end of this year. So military spending is at least 7% of GDP. They've cut back spending on medical care, on education, on transport infrastructure, updating all that. They're having to freeze all sorts of benefits like pensions and so forth. So budget deficits, some regions look like they're going bust, and so on. So things like, you know, the oil and gas industry, that is expensive maintenance of pipelines and refineries, not able to do it, not able to get some Western engineers to do it. And yeah, they do have their Russian engineers, but there's a reason why they hire this very expensive foreign expertise. So they're increasing taxes, are going to increase even more. Some businesses are going to be going to the wall. They're asking for government bailouts, and the government tends to favor those ones who are run by their cronies. So all sorts of problems they've got. But the surprising thing is just how resilient it is. So they reckon that it might get inflation down to 5% this year, if they're lucky. Wage growth nominally is going to grow up to 8%. They say, when you take into account inflation, it might be 2.5%, something like that. But yeah, so it is hurting them a lot. It just depends if we go further and harder with sanctions. And Western countries certainly could have done so. And you just got to remember what a disaster it'd be if Russia had won. If they got to the western border of Ukraine and they've been really buoyed up and say, you know, next stop Moldova. And then obviously NATO is absolutely invertebrate. We can attack Slovakia, for example. Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, you know, they're all former Soviet republics. We'll just annex them. We'll say their independence is illegal. Russian politicians have said so before, because we know NATO are wimps. They're not going to dare fight us. We've got nukes. One of the good things to come out of this is how fairly useless the Russian armed forces are, but they still have nuclear weapons. After 4 years, not to be able to win a conventional war against an enemy with fewer soldiers, with fewer everything in terms of assets. I mean, I know the Russians at least didn't have the element of surprise, but obviously far more should be done to help the Ukrainians. And the Ukrainians, suppose they just need to conscript more people. I know it's easy for me to say, my life is on the line, but there's so many men of military age in Ukraine who are physically fit who have not been conscripted. And so they're in Western countries, and I've met some of them, and Western governments say, well, you're going to have to go back. And if you don't, we'll take you back in handcuffs to fight because your country needs you. It's so unfair the guy's exhausted on the front line. And from Russia's policy, you know, of hammering the energy infrastructure, that might work. Everybody's got a breaking point. Obviously, you know the hell it's going to be if Russia does occupy you. You see the many atrocities that they've committed in other countries. But they might just say, we just can't go on like this. And it's going to be cold for another 2 months. It's only like towards late March you might be able to turn the heating off. Might. Okay. So what do you think? Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal. georgecallahan7@gmail.com. I was thinking Russia might just go back to the 90s where people weren't paid for 6 months in some cases. Public sector workers, even private sector workers. And Putin say, people lived through this in the 90s. We're going to do it. I didn't want to go back to the 90s, but we're going to have to do it. This was an absolute top priority. Justice, people's convenience, standards of living don't matter. He is chary about pushing people too far, lest that cause major demonstrations. Goodbye.